the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13, and we'll read some verses there, and then just a few other verses. So please turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll commence at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up, and some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And then if you just go down the chapter to verse 18, you will get what this parable means. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But, some of the buts in the word of God are great. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, just a few other wee verses, and if you want, you can turn to them. Well known again, Psalm 126, the last few verses, verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 126. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then what I want to entitle the message really is a verse, or a part of a verse, in Haggai chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is a challenge for us today. And Haggai was challenging the post-exilic people who had returned from Babylon, and they were sitting, as it were, at ease. The temple wasn't being built, and he challenged them to consider their ways. And he asked this question, is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. And we know indeed that God will add a blessing to the public reading of his own precious word. Another wee prayer, loving Father, we do thank you that for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living word of God, who reveals himself and reveals God to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the written word. It's forever settled in heaven. And we come for a few minutes round your word and consider your word today. We pray, Lord, that you will use your word to challenge us to be out and doing and sowing the word of God. And for those, Lord, that perhaps have heard and to this moment in town has fell on hard ground, that this may be the day that it will fall on the heart of perhaps an individual and bear fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. We're asking now your help from heaven. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, I was considering a wee word when I was asked to take the meeting this morning, and sometimes, you know, just the Lord gives you a word like that, and I felt this was the word, but had some wee struggles in my mind. And then on Wednesday night, Joan says, "I picked a wee hymn, Donald, and I hope it's all right." And she says, it is that I have a precious book. It's the Word of God. And I want to, from these Bible readings that I heard, I read in your midst this morning, to consider the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God, the sowing of the Word of God, the scattering of the Word of God, not only as it's preached faithfully in this place, but outside those doors, are we involved in sowing the Word of God, the Word of God. Because we don't have to defend the Word of God. The Word of God will defend itself. But we have to preach the Word of God. We have to know the Word of God. We have to share the Word of God. Because it's powerful. And we are a Bible-believing church, and a church that loves the Word of God. And that's brilliant. And we need that. It's absolutely essential. But you know, when I was reading the story again of the parable that Jesus... You have the three situations there. You have the sower that went out to sow. And again, preachers will tell you, and that's absolutely correct, that there was absolutely nothing wrong with the sower. There's certainly nothing wrong with the seed, because in Luke they were told clearly what the seed is. Luke says the seed is the Word of God. The problem was with the soil. But I'm sort of looking at it from an aspect of the sower. The sower. And to really challenge us as believers, and that includes the guy on the platform, are we sowing the Word of God in these days? Are we sowing the Word of God in our homes? Are we sowing the Word of God in our communities? Are we sowing the Word of God in our schools? Are we sowing the Word of God in our universities? Are we sowing the Word of God? Or, as far as our lives is concerned, in this church age, in this age of grace, and in our lives, is the seed in the barn? Because there's absolutely no good in the barn. We need to sow the Word of God. And just as Haggai challenged the folk in his days as a seed in the barn, I want to challenge myself again. Are we sowing the seed of the Word of God today? Because actually, and I don't want to get stuck into statistics, the Word of God, by and large, has not been sown. Certainly sown in the church. But you see, go through that door there. There are thousands who know little about the Word of God. I read a wee article and just researching this, the Bible in contemporary Britain. Whether in politics, philosophy, ethics, or the arts, the Christian Bible has had a vast impact on British life and society for centuries. Yet with active Bible engagement and literacy at an historic low among the public. And we live in a Bible-illiterate society today. And that's why I think it's vital, absolutely vital, that we are involved at church level, at individual level, in reading the Word of God, in knowing the Word of God, in sharing the Word of God. And again, I was... read that in Britain today, only about 6% of British adults are practicing Christians. But then this would blow my mind away. I said when the research was done on that, only about 55% of them read the Bible. Read the Bible. Meaning that even within the Christian church, people are not involved in reading and knowing the Word of God. And what does that lead to? They said, wrong doctrine. And they nearly believe anything because they don't know
the Word of God. Yes, I have a precious book. It's the Word of God. And in this church, even this month, and I was thinking about it, the very first sermon that was preached in this from this platform on this new year of 2024 was hope. The hope that every person has in this church who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. What a hope we have. It's a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. It's a certain hope. It's a sure hope. It's a hope that we know that if we were to die tomorrow morning or today, we would go to a place called heaven. What a hope. We have a hope to know if Jesus Christ would come again, that we will go to be with the Lord. And He is coming again. It's the greatest hope that's in the world. We live in a hopeless world. We live in a world with no hope. We live in a world full of anxiety. We live in a world where they're living on depression pills. But we have a hope. An amazing hope. The question is, are we sharing that hope? Are we telling people about that hope that's contained in the Word of God? Are we making it clear to people that there is this tremendous hope that we spoke about starting off a year of hope? And then we spent 3 weeks in this church considering a place called hell. A place for those that have no hope. A place for those that are outside of Christ. And according to Scripture, for all eternity. With all that we were taught over the last 3 weeks about hell, we'll spend eternity in a place called hell. And we have this message of hope. The greatest message the world has ever heard. A message of hope. And I so happen to believe that none need perish. None needs perish. I read in God's Word that it's not His will, God's will. That any should perish, but all should come to repent. I read in probably the most popular verse in the Word of God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know that in this church. And those that attend and perhaps haven't made a decision for Christ this moment, you know that as well. And we trust that even today you'll come to know the Savior. But I want to know, are we spreading that message? Are we involved in getting that message out? Am I involved in getting that message out? You and just your wee small corner and I and mine. Because this seed of the Word of God is important. It's the importance of the seed. And we read it in your hearing. There's nothing wrong with this seed, I can tell you. But the Lord Jesus made it clear. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. And here's a few things about the Word of God that the Bible says about the Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. If we want to see people saved, we need to be sharing the Word of God. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But of the Word of the Lord, what has happened? It endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. The Word of God. The Word of God. Again, the writer of the Hebrews could say, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the designer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The importance of the Word of God. Psalmist said, and this is why we need to get it out of the barn, out into the community, out into the hands of people. The psalmist said, the entrance of thy words giveth life, light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. See, it doesn't matter, and we're talking about Braille. God's word can just come to the simplest mind and reveal Christ to them. And in God's word is in a bar, just in the thinking of the importance of God's word, it's an unchangeable truth. It's a truth. Unchanging. It's uncompromisingly timeless. It worked 2,000 years ago when the Lord preached, and it's still powerful today. It's timeless. It's the truth. And you know, those of it are saved as we read God's word and study word. It's unconditionally trusted. The importance of God's word. We could say it's described as precious seed. We read that in your hearing. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed. Precious word of God. It's perfect seed. But being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. It's perfect. It's preserved. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And people over the centuries have tried to do away with the word of God, but I can tell you, still rolling of the printers, and God's word endures forever. Don't you worry about that. They might try to stop us reading and all the rest of it. God's word endures forever. And it's powerful. It's powerful. That's why we need to get out of the barn. It's powerful. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. The importance of the word of God. The importance of reading the word of God. The importance of sharing the word of God. The importance of doing the memory verse in the Sunday school. The importance of studying the word of God in the youth fellowship. The importance come under the sound of God's word in the Lord's day and in a Tuesday night Bible study. And the importance of reading it in your own home. It's powerful. And just was thinking the word where it... The funeral service of dear Billy on Thursday, I think that was, and I bumped into the two Bradley sisters. Well, didn't bump into them, we're talking to them. And again, not knowing what the message was going through my mind for today, they shared, and I've asked their permission to share it this morning. Their father, which I didn't know, came from Liverpool, came over here as a soldier and basically didn't know the word of God, came from a nominal Christian background, basically was atheistic, and came as a serving soldier to the Banbridge area, and I thought it was a very innovative way back then. The church was open to the soldiers in the wartime to come in, and they could write their letters there and provided the stamps for them. But someone gave... who became Pastor Bradley, by the way, a New Testament. Just a New Testament. And he took that and read it from the front to the back, came to see he was a sinner, trusted Christ, and became a minister and pastor of the gospel. You see the importance of God's word. By the way, have we challenged today? I got that at Ballymena Show. It says in the front, New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, the seed of life. I'm going to leave it in the foyer. It's the Gideon Bible. Would you take it, someone here that feels led, take it later and give that to someone that could be another. Pastor Bradley needs to get a New Testament and read it back to front and find the Savior. The importance of God's Word. Do we believe us important? And if it is in our individual lives, are we getting it out of the barn? Are we cozy, saying it's great to know the Bible, great to understand it, great to hear it, but never share it? Could I challenge you in that? The importance of the seed. And we did hear, read in your hearing, and it's of course recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, this parable. I think the Lord wanted to hear us about sowing the seed of the Word of God. But there's a responsibility of the sower. When the Lord was giving this talk, it wasn't really, you know, talking about the sower. It was more about the soil. But I want to just dwell the responsibility of the sower. Because we have the reliability of the seed, the Word of God. And you need to know a wee bit about the receptivity of the soil. And I'm not going to go into all the times. You've got all the types of soils there. And you can say, people won't listen to the Word of God. People don't want to hear it. Don't you believe that? And if you're sowing God's Word, many people reject it. There's no question of that. Some won't want to hear it at all. But please be assured of this. There are seekers out there that need the Word of God. And they are open for a gospel conversation. Never let the devil tell you there's nobody interested in society today about hearing the gospel. The gospel. Still the power of God and the salvation. So the importance of the seed, but the intention of the seed. The intention of the seed was that it would be sowed. It needs to be sowed. It's all types of the sower, the seed in the soil. A sower went forth to sow. And by the way, it's not the job just of the professionals. It's just not the job of the pastor, and he brings us the food of the Word of God. There's no question of that. But our job is to sow the seed. To take what we learn and apply it, not to sit on it. When you're reading just that Matthew account that we read in your hearing this morning, you see there's a movement here. The same day when Jesus out of the house, he went out of the house. There has to be movement if we're going to get this seed sown. If we're intentional about the seed sown, there needs to be a movement. By and large, people wouldn't come through that door today. So we have to go through the door out of the house and share Christ. And the question is, am I? Am I? Because when he went out through and great multitudes were gathered. There's multitudes out there. Multitudes. Even in Northern Ireland there's multitudes. But there's over 8 billion people in the world. Some of them have never heard the Word of God once. It's a challenge. And he had a message for them. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And what was the message? It was the Word of God. And that's what the Lord wants. The intention of this is to get the Word of God out of the barn. Share the Word of God. And yes, you say, yes, as we read in the hearing, there was a closed heart. There was a careless heart. There was a crowded heart. There's maybe some hearts like that in the meeting today. But against all of that, there was a cultivated heart. There was a heart ready. It was for successful, and success came from it. You know, just reading of this, the sower expects to lose. And anyone who's done door-to-door work or anyone who's shared the gospel, you know that everybody's not going to put their arms out and welcome you. I've done this for many years in the Republic of Ireland. We've done thousands of doors. So, you could say, well, will we give up? I heard a story just, I think it was last week, of a track in a Bible for over 10 years, and the boy came across it and was gloriously saved 10 years after they got it. We leave the work to the power of the Holy Ghost to convict them. But our job is to get the seed out of the barn and into the people's heart, into the people's hands, into the people's homes, into the people's lives. And there are cultivated hearts. There are cultivated hearts. There's still people today, because we're in the day of grace, and the Lord's still saving souls. And he hasn't changed. And he still loves the lost. But the point is, are we intentionally, the intention of the seed was to sow it. To sow it. Praise God for every department of this church that is sowing
the seed of the Word of God. But maybe even at this early part of the year, to give ourselves another wee shake up and say, what can we do? What can we do to get the seed of the Word of God into people's lives? Because I can tell you, the Word of God will do its own work. The importance of the seed is the Word of God. The intention of the seed, it has to be sowed. Get it out of the barn. There's no use sitting on it. I'd be involved in gospel tract distribution, and I hate to see a big stock of them. It's no good sitting in the shelf. No good. You need to get out into the people's hands. But not only the importance of the seed, the intention of the seed, but the irrigation of the seed. The irrigation of the seed. We read that in your hearing. And the psalmist, what does it say, the psalmist? We'll go back to it. Because it's a serious business, and this is what it says, they that sow in tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless. I mind listening to a tape on Leonard Ravenhill. And he just lingered in that. He said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, irrigates it with prayer. It has to be irrigated by prayer. To see that we're serious about it. And like Fanny Crosby, to weep over the erring one. And to care for the dying. But my, those that do that, this is the promise of the Word of God. This is what it says, if we irrigate the Word of God, shall doubtless, come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them. And you know, when I said no tears, no triumph, no weeping, no winning, no brokenness, no blessing, and I feel in even my own life, that's something we're missing. Really missing. Can we really listen 3 weeks in a row on the subject of hell and not be broken? Can we really listen to 3 weeks' messages on hell and not be concerned for our neighbours, our children, our families, our work colleagues? Can we? And yet I feel in my own heart, I'm not really broken the way we should be broken. But the promise of God's Word is, the key is that irrigating that Word of God with the prayer of the people of God. There's two young Salvation Army girls were doing meetings away years ago, and there were no success. And they wrote to William Booth and said, had he any advice for them? And he just wrote back two words. Dry tears. Dry tears. And those two girls sought the Lord in tears. And then God moved in the scene. Precious souls saved. Is a seed yet in the barn? The importance of the seed. The intention of the seed. The irrigation of the seed. And then you'll get the increase of the seed. Because we read that in your hearing. They that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, come again, rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with them. We want to see an increase. May we just pray, even in our own church and our own lives, that there'll be an increase of this year, that we'll see souls saved. Do you want to see that? Are we going to believe God for that? Are we going to do all, because God gives an increase. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And you know, I just quote one verse of a wee hymn that I've written down. And there is a love constraining me. It has to be done in love. To go and seek the lost, I yield, O Lord, my all to thee, to save at any cost, do we? Or is the seed yet in the barn? Well, a wee quote challenged me. I'll run it past you. If you are being arrested for soul winning,
would there be enough evidence to convict you? I ask myself the same question. The importance of sowing the seed. I'll end with this, where time's nearly going. Again, another wee confirmation. Slightly funny, but 100% important. Job, there's a precious book. The Dr. Bradley's sharing about their father and how they came to know Christ through the New Testament. And I got a wee from Tenerife yesterday, mind you, this wee story. Says this: a churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. He wrote, "I've gone for 30 years now, and in that time I've heard something like 3,000 sermons, but for the life of me I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time. The preachers are wasting their by giving sermons at all." Well, mind you, that's a big point in that itself. Because you see, every sermon we hear, we should be sharing it all week with those with us. And it started a controversy in the letter to the editor column. Much to the delight of the editor, it went on for weeks until someone wrote this clincher: "I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I can't recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this: they all nourish me and give me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today." So it is for the body of Christ, went on to say, that if we don't be fed on the Word of God, we will be spiritually malfunctional and not nourished. And then he had this here, and it's, I think I slightly agree with it anyway. B-I-B-L-E simply means basic instructions before leaving earth. Before leaving earth, this book has told us there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell and on. What an instruction. And it's very simple. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that basic instruction is this: that if we would only but admit we're a sinner, repent of that sin, and childlike faith trust Christ and Christ alone for salvation, you can become a child of God. And before you leave earth, be dead sure you're going to heaven. Isn't that wonderful news today? Well, I trust that this will help us, even in our own life, to get the seed out of the barn, God's word into our community.